Today is my beautiful wife's birthday, and she's sitting over there. Because she told me she was hoping there's some surprise for her, so there we are. And I just want to let you know as well, Jody is doing well, and she really enjoyed what she's doing in school. And the day we left Toronto, Sarah, our older daughter, got her driver's license. So their lives will be getting better, just to let you know. Thank you for praying for our families. So I was in Orlando for 3 days, and it was so cold because I stayed in hotel all 3 days. I didn't go anywhere until I left. I was going to Orlando airport, then I knew I was in Orlando because it was just such a unique situation. It was so cold in those buildings. We have to put long, you know, everything has to be long because just like winter here. Well, I can't believe that was Orlando. Anyway, I went to a conference there with a bunch of our district leaders. So just to let you know, came back yesterday. Let's turn to the book of Judges, elders. I will not do this again, so don't worry about family matters. So let's turn to Judges chapter 6. I think many of us have gone through difficult times in our lives, especially when you are a little bit older, more mature Christians. Life sometimes are not as good as we expected. So when we go through tough times in our lives, you know, sometimes we ask questions, what is going on? God is supposed to be merciful, gracious, and why are we going through all these difficult times? And we wonder like that. Sometimes the difficult times that we are in, and especially the long period of time, will cause us to be discouraged to the point that we are starting to so-called leave God behind. And I think this is the situation that we see in this story, and we just want to see something encouraging at the end of this story. So let's come to the book of Judges, chapter 6. The story actually is from chapter 6 to chapter 8. Theologians believe that actually this story goes to even chapter 9. But anyway, just three chapters, 6, 7, and 8, is the longest story in the book of Judges. So Gideon became a very important person that we can learn from, I think, in this book. I'm sure many of you have read this story, at least when we were younger in Sunday school and something like that. But today, let's read this together and see how God prepare someone and transform someone and then prepare him to be used by him. So let's turn to the story of Gideon, chapter 6. As you open chapter 6, you will see the background, what was going on. At that time, after 40 years of peace, and Israelites, they went to rebel against God again, and there were 7 years. They were in a tough time. They were in a situation that they had no safety, no peace, and no harmony in the country because they were attacked by, I call this army, called Eastern Army. They are from the east. So they came from time to time and destroyed their crops and stealing from them. So the economies are going downhill. The people are suffering, and they turn to God and ask God. This is a formula, always a formula in the book of Judges. People rebel against God, and God sent a punishment to them, and they cry out to God, and God sent someone who is a leader to save them. So this formula always repeat in the book of Judges. So this is one of those stories, a very important story, because I think we can learn something very important from this story. So when you come to chapter 6, starting verse 11, the passage that we start reading, you will see that they were hiding. Many Israelites, especially living in the northern part of the country, they were hiding from their enemies. And they have to live in the cave, and when God met Gideon, he was actually doing something. He was harvesting his crops, trying to get his crop ready for food, and then he was using wrong locations, and he was in not a very good ideal place to do all this work. So you know that they were in a very bad situations. If you look at the story at the end of chapter 5 and the beginning of chapter 6, you will see that Gideon was born in a very peaceful time. That was the 40 years before this enemy came. And so he was born into a very good time. The country was relatively peaceful. And then the judgment came. The army from the east came, and for 7 years, the scripture describes 7 years, they were being suppressed by this army coming in from time to time. So Gideon, with his own eyes, own experience, he actually experienced the good time, it was something going on very good, and then starting to change, and then they have a very tough time for 7 years. So, brothers and sisters, if you go through tough time for 7 years, do you have confidence to continue to follow our God? So he saw all these things. So he was doing all this harvesting, trying to feed his family, and then the Lord came to meet him. So starting 11, you will see that, and then God was talking to him, and the first statement came out from the messenger, was, "The Lord is with you." Does it sound familiar to you? The Lord is with you. It sounds like what? Emmanuel. So God, the first thing God told him that was, "I am with you. Even though you are going through tough times, you might not feel that I'm around you, I'm here, or you might feel that I'm not concerned what is going on with your lives, but actually I am with you." So this is a very important statement that God first told Gideon. But how did he respond to that? If you continue to read that, he was such a, in bad mood because he was doing something in the wrong place, trying to harvest using this area, vine press, because that was not supposed to be for, taking care of the weeds. So he was there, and then and God came to him and told him that God is with you. And then what did he do? He complained right away. "Oh God, really seriously, if he's with me, with us, we don't have to go through these difficult times. I heard old stories about this God. He was such a good God, he saved our ancestors, he delivered them from Egypt, bringing us here, the land of, wonderful land, full of milk and honey, all these wonderful things. I heard about it. But look at that, look at us now. I am going through tough times. I am going through difficult times. I am fearful of my life. If I go out to, do some harvesting and the enemy came, and I might lose my life. So I'm hiding among those vineyards. And I try to protect myself, my family, and at the same time take care of my family." And he was such an attitude, he was just like many of us. Quietly in our hearts, we complain against God. Why did all these things happen to me? To my family, to my clan, all these things. So that was the background. He did not believe that the person talking to him is from God. And whatever he was talking, he did not even believe what he was talking. "The Lord is with you." And God said that, "I'm going to use you. You're going to be a mighty warrior." Oh, man. I'm such a scary guy. I'm just hiding. I'm so fearful of my life. You are telling me that I'm going to be a warrior. You see, a lot of time we don't see beyond difficult times. We don't. We stuck in that tunnel vision. We call it, we just see what is happening three down the road. But God is seeing a whole lot further down. You could be a mighty warrior. And he just simply could not believe that. So he was going through a tough time, from good time, like many of us. Now God eventually show up and invite him to be part of this plan, God's plan. So the first experience, I want to share with you three experiences that Gideon went through in this story. The first one is about knowing himself. So God was talking to him and then saying that he's going to be a mighty warrior. He's going to deliver the Israelites from this army from the east. And the first reaction, he was, no, no, no. Sounds like just like Moses. No, 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 no. You know, I'm very good in complaining, but don't tell me. I will become a part of the solution. You know, my job is to complain. You know, when people ask me about God, you know, how come he is not here? Then I can tell you the whole stories from end to end, you know. But now you're telling me that, oh, well, yeah, I heard your story from end to end about complaining, but how about becoming a solution? No, I'm too little. I'm too insignificant. My clan is the small ones. In my tribe, everything is no, no, no. And that was his reaction. But God said, don't worry about it, you know. Your enemy is a huge army coming, but don't worry about it. Just treat them like one person. I join you, two of us, we are going to attack them as one person. Guys, if you have two guys, you're going to fight one guy. Do you think you have a better chance to beat him up? So actually, God was already telling him, don't worry about it. We're going to win because I'm going to join you. So two of us. I'm a big guy. You know, God said, I'm a big guy. Don't worry about it. You know, two of us. Hitting him just like that, you know, put him on the floor, just bam, bam, bam. I'm not trying to portray violence, okay? Just a picture. So God was using that too to him and said, well, don't worry about it. You know, this we will win this. You know, it will be just wonderful. And Gideon was so scared, and then he changed the subject and said, well, I'm not even sure God was talking to me. How about you stay? You know. I'm leaving. No, he didn't say that. He said, let me go home and get something that I can offer to you. To him, that is the knowledge that he has about God. You know, if God is showing up, you know, as his people, we should give him an offering, sacrifice. So he thought, maybe I should try to see if this guy is actually from God. So he said, stay, okay, let me go and get something. You see, the whole experience that Gideon had, from hearing about God, and then he complained a lot about this God, to trying to know if this is actually the God that his ancestors talk about. So, you see, the first things that he need to learn is the experience about who he is himself, and about this God. First, it was just a knowledge. My father told me about this God. My grandfather told me about this God. So we heard about him. You see, our younger generations, we have this challenge too. We grow up in a church. We were brought up in a Christian homes. We heard a lot about this God, and sometimes we wonder, is he my personal God? Gideon goes through this stage too. He tried to figure out, I heard about him a lot, but I did not really know him. Now God came, and he started to understand. He said, wow, everything burned up. I was supposed to enjoy the meal with him, but everything burned. It was an offering. And then all of a sudden he realized that he was talking to God and he said, oh, I'm going to die. You see, this is also a knowledge. Because someone told him that, you know, God is holy. Nobody could see him. So he heard about that too. So when that happened, he said, oh, no, I'm going to die. You see, Gideon was a very low self-image person. You have to understand that. He is fearful. He is running away from these enemies. When God showed up to him, he was scared. But he's learning about this God. And he has first encounter with him. Brothers and sisters, for those who are younger, I really hope and pray that someday and very soon, maybe you have already met this God personally. But if you have not, I really pray that someday you will actually meet this God. And the knowledge, not just a knowledge in the head. A few weeks ago, someone said that the distance between this and here is the longest. We heard about God a lot. But do you really know him with your own encounter with him? I think this is the key. So this is how Gideon started his experience with God. And the second stage or second experience that he had right away was to having a transformation. Because a lot of us, I think we miss this seriously. We miss this as a church, as a pastors, as church leaders. We miss this in our ministries. The transformation, the importance of transformation. Because after he met God, the same night, the scripture described the same night, God told him, go and destroy the idols that your whole town was worshiping. And the scripture described he did it right away with his 10 servants. So he went out at night and he destroyed everything in town about worship, idol worships. The idol, you know, all those equipment. Those are good equipment. Don't destroy them, okay? So he destroyed all this at night. And in the morning, he got up, and the whole town got up, all the idols were destroyed, and then they tried to find out who did it, and his father, I'm sure he talked to his father about what happened. That's why his father stood up and defended him. The process, brothers and sisters, as a pastor, I sometimes think I already apologize to this, to MMC, to CMC. I need to apologize to you as a pastor of this church. We do not put enough emphasis on this experience of transformation. We ask our people to serve almost right away. We ask them and say, God is using you, God is going to use you, maybe why don't you just help out this area, that area? When we see you doing pretty well, then we say, do some more. And then how many of us get burned out? Disappointed with our leaders, disappointed with our pastors, because they said, they did not come to support me. When I get into troubles, I don't know what to do. I believe we did not spend enough emphasis on this experience of transformation. God told Gideon, destroy what you try to depend on, those idols. That was his problem in his time, in his life. Not just him, but his whole family, a whole clan, people living in the same town, his own people. Transformation started with his own life. He said, go and destroy all this. I don't think we put this enough focus. Encourage our brothers and sisters to go through this transformation. Allow God to look into our lives and say, well, I think this has to go. You see, this is what God did to Gideon. First thing first is to look into his own life. Now he has personal knowledge with God. And God turned around and said, look into your own life now. Do you know what the cause is? That people sin against God and they got all these punishments because of sins that they have. Worshipping idols. If you look at the prophet came afterwards, you know, the description, verse 9, 10, 8, you know, 8, 9, and 10, the prophet came and described the reason they were in trouble, because they worship idols. So what is your idols, brothers and sisters? Career? Bank account? Success? Power? Are those your idols? And this is the things that a lot of time as a church we miss. We did not expect, we did not spend enough time, we did not encourage our brothers and sisters to go through this experience. Allow God to come into our lives and say, I think this is something you need to work on. And I think this story tells us an important part of it. So verse 27 tells us that even though Gideon did it right away, we thought, wow, he was such a good guy. He met God and then he followed God right away. Whatever he was, God asked him to do, it was a tough task. You have to understand that. He did it right away. But verse 27, chapter 6, tells us that because he was so fearful that people would find out. So he did it at night. So the story kept telling us, Gideon, he was a fearful guy. He had no self-confidence. Just like many of us, we are very fearful. When we face our enemies, when we face difficult times, we are fearful. When God asks us to do something, and then we are also fearful. And this is continued description of who he was. He was fearful. So verse 27 says that that's why he did it at night. And then when people came to his house and trying to kill him, who came out? His father. Not him. I'm sure in between he already told what happened to his father. You know, what happened yesterday he met God. You see, it's a wonderful thing happening behind the scene, I think. When God was working in our lives, and we slowly, we see people around us starting to change too. So his father stood up for him and said, well, if this idol, Baal, you know, whoever that was, if he was real, he could defend for himself. The whole town slowly changed because we see the change later on coming up. Brothers and sisters, when we meet God, when he comes to meet with you, and I hope that you are ready, not just receive his grace, he receive his mercy, and the things that we need to look into our lives too, because he's expecting us getting ready to serve him requires transformation into our own lives. So the third experience, now we are getting into the important part. The third experience, after the transformation, he's looking into his own life. He knew that there was a huge stumbling block that God wanted him to remove it, which was worshiping idols, depending on something else other than God. And then the third experience that he had was true obedience. It takes huge faith to obey what he did, what he was going to do in the next chapter, the next part of the story. So, 33, verse 33. So the battle was getting ready. So I just want to show you PowerPoint, please. Ophrah, I thought it's Oprah, but it's Ophrah. So this is Gideon's hometown, right here. As you can see, it's just at the edge of a mountain hills, and this is the valley, just out. They are going to fight here. So it's a very much near at home, this battle. Not really far away, right here at home. And he was going to fight, can you see? And he was going to fight this battle. And the next is the valley. So he was asking God, God, are you seriously asking me to deliver my people? Because this is a very important to him. Are you asking me to deliver my people? Because he's going to screen, he's going to recruit his own clan, his own tribes to fight this battle right at home almost. Maybe they were just living up there somewhere on the hills and the battle is down there. It's not 20, 30 kilometers away or 100 kilometers away. You can fight a battle, you lost it, fine, no problem, you just went home if you survive. But this is right here. So he was asking some, miracles or something like that later. So how many people were there, the army from the east? Do you know? They occupied the whole valley. Do you know how many people were there? Did the scripture tell us? Well, you have to turn to chapter 8 to find out. Before you turn to chapter 8, then we find out that God killed 120,000 right away, the same night. And then there is someone left. And you can add them up, it's 135,000 came. 135,000 people came as their enemies, filling out these valleys. Maybe Gideon was just standing here looking down, or he was up there, I don't know. But must be on the hill, because as you unfold the stories, you know that. They look down, this is filled with people, 135,000. And he screamed and he said, "Wow, God is going to be with us, let's fight this battle." How many people came out from his clan, from his tribe, from the people around them, the other tribes? The scripture describes how many? 32,000. So your enemy has 135, you have 32,000. So roughly it's about, what's the ratio? 1:4? A little bit close to 1:4.5. So one Israelite has to fight 4.5 people. No, there's no half people. So either you fight five people or four people. So I read some articles on this. From a military perspective, if you want to attack your enemy, the ratio is 4:1. You have to have 4:1 ratio in order for you to attack your enemy. So if you attack a city with a wall in those days, you have 30,000 people inside or soldiers, you have to have at least 120,000 for you to be successful. So that is the ratio, 1:4. So if you look at this, 135 versus 32,000, you know that there's no chance for Israelites to attack at all because they were up on the hills. It's much better for them to defend themselves. So they were sitting up there. Gideon looked down and said, "Wow, God, are you really seriously asking me to do this? Let's show me some miracles." So he was asking about the freeze, get dry, get wet, in 2 days. And he was so sure, God is going to use me to defeat our enemies. So God said, "Well, 32,000 is too many. Because if you have 32,000, you thought you beat them up. There's no miracle. So you guys would think that you guys are very good soldiers, so that's why you defeat your enemies." So God said, "No, too many. 32 is too many." And Gideon did something impossible, I think, for us too. And he said, "Who wants to go home?" Facing 135,000 enemies. And he had to turn around to say to these 32,000 farmers and say, who wants to go home? Disappeared, 22,000. 10,000 left, still too many. You know the story. Take them to the river and see how they drink. Do you know why they got picked at 300? Most of them just bent over, lick from the river. This is not. Then only 300 people scoop the water up and drink like this. Do you know why God picked that 300 people? I'm sure some of you know. You know? Tell me. Good. They're the true soldiers. Because if you bend over, you drink from the river, you cannot see anything. All you see is your own beautiful face. But only 300 people scoot up the water and drink like that, then they can see what is happening around them. So they are the real soldiers. So God picked these 300. Well, there's a movie called 300 too, right? It's not quite the same. True obedience requires a lot. Only 300 people left. Gideon, now that he has some faith in God, seeing all these miracles, and now that he knows God is with him, but only 300 people. I'm not sure he could sleep at night. Maybe that was why God told him, maybe you should go down and listen to the dreams that they have, that I give it to them. In case you are afraid, God said, maybe you can bring your servant with you. Again, the scripture tells us, Gideon, still very much fearful. You see, brothers and sisters, in an ideal world, when we say transformation, we say that, oh, no, God is going to take away something bad or our weakness away from you. But in reality, it's not true all the time. It's not true all the time. Because Paul also has something the scripture described, you know, maybe an eye problem, some problems medically, and God was not going to heal him completely. Because of what? The scripture described, because then we will see the power, the grace of God in our lives every day. So even though Gideon was fearful all his life, I don't think this is just a random thing. The scripture described him like that. He was a fearful guy. But he still followed what God wanted him to do. I want you to take this with you today. God might not remove everything that we are fearful of, because a few months ago, actually, my nephew asked me, how are you doing before English worship service started? I said, I'm a little bit nervous because I'm going to preach for 20 years. I'm still kind of nervous when I have to come up here to preach. I did not become a superman like Pastor Henry, you know. I'm still nervous every time I have to preach. God did not remove that from me. And he's going to use that because he wants us to trust him, depend on him. So that was what happened. He said, well, if you are fearful, go down and listen to the dream with your servant. So he went down to the camp and then he listened. Oh, yeah, this is true. God is going to deliver us. Why have no problem anymore? So he went up there and then tell the 300 guys, this is how you're going to defeat them. He truly was a warrior because at that point, God did not tell him how to fight with 300 people. Based on the scripture, God did not tell him that. So he formed all these 300 people and said, This is the way you go down. This is what you did, what you do, okay? And then we're going to fight and we're going to defeat our enemy. And you know the story, how it ends. So when we end this story, I just want you to see that. No matter how fearful he was, he still, based on his knowledge, his personal experience with God, he still followed to the end. Brothers and sisters, don't use this as an excuse and saying that because I'm fearful, I'm not good enough, I'm not wise enough, I'm not tough enough, and I don't have leadership, so maybe I should not do what God asked me to do. I think the bottom line of the whole story is, regardless how fearful he was, he still followed and obeyed and complete what God asked him to do. And I want you to take this home. What I just said, okay? Take it home. Pray to God. God, if I'm fearful of this or of that, help me to trust you. Because this is what Gideon did. Closing, I want to show you a video. And I think this song was beautifully written and described us pretty good.
When he told you you're not worthy, when he told you you're not loved, when he told you you're not beautiful, you'll never be enough. Fear, he is a liar. He will take your breath, stop you in your
Let your fire fall and cast out.
liar.
Shall we all stand up? Have a word of prayer. Let's close our eyes. Our Lord Jesus, we want to give you thanks. Like John in the New Testament tells us that when we truly understand and experience the love of God, fear will be cast away. I believe a lot of time we are so fearful because we have questions of your love in our lives. Lord, we just pray that like Gideon, all his life, he was fearful. So as many of us, we grew up, we brought up this way too. We fear many things. Lord, we just pray that as we meet with you in our daily lives, in our devotion time, when we pray to you, Lord, we just pray that your love will truly saturate us, each one of us, deep in our hearts, will be filled by your love. Not our heads, not just head knowledge of your love, but actually experience how much and how deep you love us. Lord, we pray that as like Gideon, he followed your will and complete the task. With only 300 people, he was doing impossible task. The purpose was to give you all the glory you deserve. Lord, we just ask you to help us do the same. Not just overcome our fear, but at the same time, help us to bring glory to you in our daily lives. And we thank you, we pray in Jesus' name.